Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And if you're fed up, then you came to the right place today because we got our friend Danielle DiMartino Booth, who is the author of the new book coming out. When's it coming out, Danielle? Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Great to be here again. And it is coming out on Valentine's Day, February the 14th. So you don't even have to mark your calendar. You can just remember that.
Well, you're my Valentine anyways. I watch on air all the time. You're cheating on me. You now went to CNBC. I saw you the other day. What's going on?
And there I was. There I was in my red dress. That's my trademark red. That's right.
You were putting those guys to shame because I don't think they have much of a clue, and they're a little bit too sappy about the Fed, anyways. But so you know, you've been a lot in the news lately. You're still all over the place, and so the book is coming out. And refresh the audience's memory what the book's about, and because Danielle, just so if you don't remember, was a Fed employee, and she's as good a basher as I am about the Fed, and she worked there.
Exactly. So it's saying something that I was actually on the inside, and I'm as critical as I have been. And that's really the point of the book. You know, Todd, I came into the Fed hoping to serve my country, capable of seeing at the time that the housing bubble was going to become something really ugly, which it did. But that's not why I wrote the book. I wrote the book because of what didn't happen in the aftermath of the financial crisis. There was a wide recognition within the Federal Reserve that a lot of the models that they used left them feeling like a bomb had gone off because it didn't predict the crisis. So what they had at that point, to quote your mayor, Rahm Emanuel, was they had the opportunity of a great crisis, and they wasted it. Despite the internal recognition that a lot of the models were broken, they decided to stick with them because it helped, in my ever so humble opinion, it helped further their agenda. And that's kind of where I drew the line, because the American people suffered at the hand of economic hubris. And that is what became Fed Up. The subtitle tells you everything you need to know, an insider's take on why the Federal Reserve is bad for America.
So, I mean, but now this is one of the issues I always have. They never see, and not only the Fed, but economists in general, never see a problem. I mean, in other words, they never see the forest before the trees anyways. So why is it, what was the problem? I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Fed anyways, but I mean, so economists in general don't see the problems. I mean, nobody sees the problems today that we have. And you can bet your ass there's problems today, right now. So why is that?
Well, look, you know, I was kind of incredulous. Not that I want to pump up those folks at Zero Hedge, because I do not think that the world is ending at approximately 4:01 p.m. tomorrow. But it was interesting that Zero Hedge caught the dichotomy at the time recently when Jerome Powell, who happens to be one of the people on the board of governors at the Fed, I happen to respect more than others. But Jerome Powell was saying, you know, I don't see any financial instability issues brewing, while at the same time, the head of the Carlyle Group was saying, you know, we're staring down the barrel of the mother of all bond market bubbles. And, you know, to hear two people who are presumably very well educated come up with patently different conclusions about their worldviews at the same exact time, I kind of took my hat off to Zero Hedge. Because it painted a picture of the fact that a lot of the central bankers still don't live here on planet Earth.
Well, and they don't. And I think that is, look, I mean, you're extremely intelligent and very well versed in this stuff. And you tell it like it is.
Oh, keep going, Todd.
You know me. I tell like it is. And that's what I think. I mean, I enjoy listening to you, what you say, because, again, it fills in a lot of the knowledge that I don't have. I mean, I just have a big mouth and an opinion. I don't actually have all the deep inner seated knowledge that you have found and we've developed. But I mean, I look at it from a simple standpoint. A, I never believe the world's going to end. I know we're going to work our way out of everything. So I never go to that degree. I'm not a fear monger, but I do have a direct problem when I look at the economy. I look at economists and they say, you know, well, there's, everything is fine. When you and I know damn well that everything is not fine, and as much as we've seen Donald Trump's rally push these markets higher, at the end of the day, we still forgot about all that debt that they built. And from what I read the other day, the debt to GDP worldwide is like 325-1. So, I mean, you tell me.
Yeah, that's a big number. That is a really big number. You know, if there's one person who I would put kind of in the disingenuous camp, to throw a great big word. I know you're not supposed to use words that are more than, we'll say insincere. There's a three syllable one for you. It would be Rogoff and Reinhardt. You know, when there was a great big debt buildup, they said correctly, balance sheet recessions take a heck of a lot longer to exit than do your regular run of the mill, plain vanilla recessions. Well, boy, were they right. But $60 trillion later, and we've continued to blow up balance sheets at central banks outside the United States, and all of a sudden, all this debt's no longer a problem? I've got a big problem with that, and there's a growing school of thought, if you will, that debt no longer matters, that the solution we're going to be able to find is just outright monetization, and it's just going to make it go away. And you know, Milton Friedman, may he rest in peace, there is no such thing as a free lunch, and it's fairly alarming to me to see this notion that is spreading, mind you, that it no longer matters.
Well, isn't that not there? And you know, it's funny because I talked to an economist once a month from England, and you know, he's pretty straight up, and he says, look, the bottom line is they're going to have to relieve a big percentage of all this debt that is out there. What do you say?
Well, that's a kind way of saying, you know, make it go away. I get that, but Todd, I'll throw a question right back at you. Okay, so maybe one big world player can try this. But what happens when everybody does it at the same time? Who's left holding the bag?
Well, I mean, listen, this all goes back to 1913, right? I mean, this really goes back to the ability to print money. And I have no problem. You know, I have no problem with a Federal Reserve that does what it's supposed to do, which is to be the actual lender of last resort. I mean, I still go back to 2008 when they bailed out the banks. Now, in my opinion, they should have let the banks that were going to fail. But the point is if they're the lender of last resort, if they're going to supply the money, why not make the depositors of that bank good and let the bank go under? Explain to me that, why they couldn't do that.
Well, they could have in a pre-Glass-Steagall world, but in a post-safety net world, you know, that became impossible. The solution that resulted was, well, we'll just let Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs become banks and we'll solve that problem. But again, it ignited moral hazard that has trained the world's investors to think that there will always be a floor underneath any losses. And that's why I look to, I'm not making a political statement, but Donald J. Trump is not beholden to anybody in Washington, D.C., which means that given his druthers, he can put people on the Federal Reserve that can say no. That's the simplest way I can say no.
And Daniel DiMartino Booth is not beholden to anybody either, because she is tough and she is fed up. And her new book, February 4th, Valentine's Day. Make sure you buy it for your husband and wife or a friend. You got to get there. Fed Up. It's going in pre-sales right now. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are with Danielle DiMartino Booth from Money Strong and also the author of Fed Up. We'll be back after the break. But before I go, LibertyTalk.fm will let you download the show every single day. We're looking to get to 1 million downloads a month this year, so I need your help. Let's go. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. Tom Horowitz with Danielle DiMartino Booth, the author of Fed Up, the new book that is coming out on Valentine's Day. She is ex of the Unfed and now the proprietor of Money Strong, writes great articles every week, and you can catch those at BubbaTrading.com as well on her website. But we make sure you get them because not many more talented than our friend Danielle. And so, Danielle, I know you have a theory on how to do the Fed or rebuild the Fed, and you say it's got to be built, to quote you, rebuild the Fed from the bottom up. Explain.
That's right. Take it down to the studs. Go back to the map of the United States, and I like to say the economic map of the United States from 1913 when the Federal Reserve was conceived. At that point, it was the wild, wild west. So you could have the 12th district, and that's the top number, but you could have the 12th district encompass basically half the country. I exaggerate, but just a little bit. Well, guess what? California is now the largest economy in the country, and it should not have just one central bank. It should have two. That's right. This is heresy. I'm saying we need to add a district bank to the system. That being said, I mean, Minneapolis, Cleveland, I'm not saying that these are not economic centers anymore, but they're not economic powerhouses anymore. St. Louis, you could easily consolidate a lot of the feds that are in the middle of the country and have Chicago absorb them and still have fair and balanced economic representation at the Federal Open Market Committee. My proposal would be to take the number of Federal Reserve districts down to 10 and give them all equal votes on the Federal Open Market Committee, which would in turn begin to take away some of the concentrated power base that we have in Washington, D.C. and New York that creates for group thinking and people doing things only one way because it's being driven by this small cabal of people in two different Fed districts.
So in your opinion, you worked at the Fed, you understand it, you are, again, extremely informed and intelligent about these things. Do we need a Federal Reserve?
You know, I think we need a Federal Reserve. And that there are many reasons that I say, and you and I do not agree on this point, but there are many reasons that I say that the Fed needs to be upended, not ended. With all due deference to Ron Paul, we are not a banana republic, and I don't think you can unring the bell of the financial system across the globe having gone global and interconnected. And the role that the Fed plays of supervision and regulation, I think, is it's most critical. I think you could move to a more rules-based approach on the research side and on the monetary policy making, interest rate setting side of the Fed, and beef up supervision and regulation and pay people lots of money, like they pay people lots of money on Wall Street. I'm talking about PhDs, but of a different stripe, PhDs in finance. I'm talking about masters of professional accounting. Bring people into the organization that can read a balance sheet in their sleep and never let what occurred prior to the financial crisis, which was a bunch of financial engineering and off-balance sheet financing and shadow banking, take down the country again. So we definitely need a Fed.
Okay. Well, again, and I'll say this in response to that. I mean, I would say that starting with Alan Greenspan, the Fed has been nothing more than a bubble builder, ignoring and pushing away debt, which is why the bond market was in a 36-year bull market and why we've had some of these massive bubbles and why your actual dollars are now worth a hell of a lot less than they were. Because, you know, you look at what it costs to live today. And their theory of that we need inflation, they need inflation only because so they can raise more taxes on your money. I mean, so they want my house to inflate. So instead of paying $20,000 a year, I'll pay $40,000 a year in real estate taxes. I have a fundamental problem with that because I don't believe any of the banks have enough in reserve for what they put out on the street. So they're not only does the Fed have the ability to print money, but so do the banks. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, they do. Look, and I think, Todd, that what you're getting to is something that is fundamental, and it's what role a bank should play. And, you know, I'll go back and harp for a minute, if you'll allow me to, on Glass-Steagall.
Please
and
do.
What's your opinion? first of all.
I'll let you explain. I don't like any regulations. So you spell it out. I do trust and respect your opinion and who you are 1,000%. And if you tell me that I'm wrong, I will probably tend to lean to your way. So you go ahead and tell me.
Well, let's put it this way. I would prefer as a taxpayer to not be on the hook for a bunch of investment bankers, you know, playing cowboy and taking insured depositors' money to Vegas. It's not that that's not part of capitalism, and it's not that that's not what investment banks should do. They should. I just think you need to extricate the taxpayer from the situation and purely have deposits be insured, sticky deposits, retail deposits, and move on. Now, would you ever get that through even a Trump Congress? I'm thinking no.
I would think,
but it's elegant, it's simple, and it takes away the impetus for moral hazard for people to take bets knowing that, I know this is a family show, knowing that, that some entity in Washington has got their ass covered. I don't like that.
They always have their ass covered. That's the reason that Trump will struggle, okay? The reason that we're going to struggle through here, and the reason that I believe that the Fed has gotten, even though they're a private corporation, but the reason that we've gotten so many troubles here is because these assholes in Washington don't want to miss the vote, so they don't want to make the appropriate changes that would actually rein in a lot of the bad decision-making that has gone on. What say you?
That's absolutely correct. If there's one thing that keeps me up at night, it's that Donald Trump is not going to have the political capital to put independent and objective people on the Federal Open Market Committee. Don't get me wrong. I'm not pleased about Obamacare and the inability to quantify how much money it takes to bring on an additional employee, especially, you know, from the perspective of a small business owner. I think that we need all kinds of reforms and we need these regulations to go away in large part. But I worry that he's going to expend the bulk of his political capital repealing Obamacare and not have enough left in the chamber to cut taxes, make it simpler to conduct business in this country, and by the way, upset the apple cart in terms of the composition of people on the Federal Open Market Committee so that you can bring dissent back to the table where it belongs, so that the next time some yahoo dreams up the next generation of quantitative easing, somebody raises their hand and says, no, didn't work last time, won't work again, let's move on and find a different solution.
Now, I said to you, and I believe this, and I want to know if you think I'm right or if I'm wrong. I don't believe that any of the banks have enough in reserve based on what the legality part of the standpoint is. And I think that these stress tests are a bunch of hooey. Am I right or am I wrong?
Of course they are, because stress tests never take into account contagion. And you can't tell me that credit unions going bonkers on consumer lending and subprime autos, and that small to mid-sized banks going haywire these last few years on commercial real estate lending, is not going to come home to roost. We just don't know how it's going to come home to roost. You can tell me all day long that we don't have as much outstanding in residential mortgages and that therefore the banking system is safer. That's true, unless you incorporate the other kinds of lending that have gone on to fill in that blank over the past few years. So they're stress testing based on yesteryear's issues, not based on what's going to come up and bite them. This is twice in one interview. I apologize.
No, go
not
for
based
it.
On what's going to come back and bite them in the ass going forward.
We like when they get bit in the ass. They should be bit harder. All right. So, you know, I just quickly here, you and I both agreed on Charlie Strong and he's no longer with Texas. Are you upset? You happy? What's your thought?
Well, look, I'm all about intelligence in game calling. I really am. And who replaced him, God love him, is a very humble gentleman who got into Mensa coming out of college. So I thought Charlie Strong was a lovely individual, but I'm pretty darn too excited to have a genius on the headline, a genius on the sidelines going forward. Hook him.
You need more than a genius here. You guys need to get some better recruiting again and go back to the old days. But this is.
Don't you worry. He's on it. Right. Don't you worry.
I'm a Texas fan. This is Danielle DeMartino Booth, the author of Fed Up, the owner of Money Strong, on TV all over the place. This is one of the smartest people I know. And this is, of course, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and you download the show every day. And you also download the Sporting Edge on the weekends. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horowitz with Danielle DiMartino Booth. We'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Danielle DiMartino Booth. Money Strong, but more importantly today, the author of Fed Up, coming out February 14th. Make sure you get it for your friend, lover, whatever. Believe me, she knows more about the Fed, and she will take care of it. And God bless her. She's the best. So, all right, Danielle. So I know you write every week and you write the best articles and you have the best titles and you're always something cool. But I know this week you wrote about the bond markets and bonds and investment grades and junk bonds. And I want to know what you wrote about, and give my audience your take.
Well, you may recall this thing called the subprime mortgage crisis. And the subprime mortgage crisis was precipitated based on AAA credit ratings, the stamp of approval from our nation's credit rating agencies. My greatest concern is that we have seen mammoth growth in the investment grade market, much more so than is the case in the junk bond market, and that investors have looked the other way in terms of the huge issuance going on, simply because they say, oh, it's investment grade, it's money good, I can't lose my principal. Well, guess what? I think that we will be in a world of pain one day. One of the pieces that I wrote, if you go back on my archive, www.dimartinobooth.com, look into my archive and look at Midnight in the Garden of Fallen Angels. And I write about falling angels and my viewpoint on the future, that there are going to be a lot of downgrades into junk territory of investment grade issuers that have just gone wild in a low interest rate environment, but leveraged up their balance sheets to too great great of an extent. And again, this is what helps mom and pop sleep at night. It's knowing that they're in AAA rated securities. And I don't think that people appreciate the sheer amount of risk that's building up in the most pristine corner of the corporate bond market.
Well, I think that, you know, one thing we do know for sure is that somehow we managed to build up this risk in every market. And this goes back to my original comment to you about what the Fed has done, because a lot of this is Fed driven. Because, you know, if we had truly free markets and true price discovery, where interest rates actually price themselves based on the supply demand model. I mean, I don't know much, but I do know that if I want to borrow money and I can't get it from a bank, somebody will lend it to me. There will be a price that I'll pay and that they'll lend it to me at. And I think when you...
Of course there will be.
But they take away the free market. So that's why I don't believe... I believe that there should be a lender of last resort. I don't have any problem with it. I believe there should be a place that you can go to bail out. But I do not believe in the currency wars. I do not believe in the constant battering of currencies, which is really just stealing money out of your pocket and my pocket, because every time they screw around, all they're doing is they're issuing a secondary on the cash that's in my pocket. What do you say?
Well, I don't know, Todd.
Okay, well.
Look, I think that what we're starting to see is what you're talking about. What used to exist in a world of price discovery, which no longer does, has unfortunately been backfilled by untested, peer lending, small business, and you're starting to see the default rate on some of these new type of loans and debt go through the roof. Because the private market, the shadow banking system, if you will, tried to come in and fill the vacuum that had been taken away because of the Feds intervening and making price discovery illegal. Well, now you're starting to see default rates go up, and especially here in Dallas, where I'm based, you know, where usury laws are fairly kind. We're seeing some of the backlash of subprime lending, and you know, it's a lot more elegant these days to repossess a car. It's electronic. Repo men have never had it so good. But my concern is that if these eras go on too long, and you started out a while back by saying this pretty much started with Alan Greenspan, I worry about the pathway forward to having banks come back again to being regular old lenders, or whether or not we've regulated them out of their bread and butter business. And therefore, if the Fed ever truly steps back from the scene and forces the market to be a marketplace once again, I don't know what it will look like. I don't know what the flip side of it will look like. And that's what worries me, Todd.
Okay, well, I mean, I would much rather, my personal opinion, would be to see a regular old market and let a bank, because I know that the big guys, they don't need the banks necessarily, and they're going to get whatever they want. I think that the system that we have built today has been built to destroy the middle class. I believe that it's to create two classes now, because the small business, the entrepreneur, cannot exist until we get some changes where they can actually get money at a reasonable rate without borrowing on their credit card at a usury rate number, and where they will actually hire employees. So that is where all the jobs have gone, because without the middle class, there is no jobs, because there's no entrepreneurship and there's nobody working. So it takes away the whole system, because we do not have that free market system. And that bothers me greatly, because we have it in many places. Like when you sell your house, it's a free market. You make an offer and somebody has you offer it, somebody bids it, and you want to change, the exchange of wealth takes place. Boom, you can make it to happen. But when it comes to the actual banking system and everything else, there's all these rules. And somehow the independent, the citizens, you and me, get screwed out of every deal.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's why the system sucks. And that's why I don't like what they're doing. And that's why we need to have, in my opinion, free markets. If a bank goes out of business, screw them. Let them go. I don't care. I don't care if there's a run on the bank or not. It doesn't help the middle class whether or not there's a lender of last resort. It only helps the extremely wealthy who are running those banks. You tell me that I'm wrong. Explain to me why I'm wrong. That's what I really want to know.
No, I mean, you're not wrong, because you're either kind of a subprime, stick it to you kind of a borrower, or you're a great big borrower who's basically borrowing for 0.5% or can access the capital markets regardless. So you've got that special entree. And if you're in the middle, you really have been squeezed out of the market. And I say if you're in the middle, even if you're a small or a mid-sized bank, you've been regulated out of business. And you used to be a lender to those small businesses. And credit card lending didn't used to just involve usury type level rates. And that's how a lot of small businesses finance themselves. And that was where their operating income came from. But now, now credit card borrowing, it's upwards of 20%. That's absolutely ridiculous. And you tell me why there's so much anger out there. And it's because people cannot get ahead in this country. And this is supposed to be the country where everybody can get ahead. That's where they came up with the term, the American dream.
And you are the American dream. But again, that's my issue. And that's my biggest concern, because, you know, I do a lot of business with a lot of farmers, and the community banks obviously are dead. And it really pisses me off that a community bank pays basically a higher rate of insurance to the FDIC, basically, than the big banks do. And those things bother me, that the big banks are basically eating their young, as I like to say, putting the little guys out of business. And that, to me, is a tragedy. And to me, the tragedy of the United States of America today, and I love this country, and obviously I want it to be great, and which is why I voted for Donald Trump. And I don't, you know, I wrote about him. I support him. And I think he's got the one shot to turn this around. But in closing here, darling, any final parting thoughts or any things you'd like to talk about before we go?
Well, look, I'm not going to make any political statements, but I will share with you reader feedback from a few days ago. And the reader said, look, if Donald Trump can't do it, if Donald Trump cannot shake up the system as we know it, the system that has caused this country to atrophy, nobody can. So we're at the precipice of show me, don't tell me, because the time has come.
And those are the words of Danielle DiMartino Booth, the author of Fed Up, February 14th. Make sure you get it. And when she comes in your town for the book tour, make sure you go see her. Because she'll sign your
book.
Coming
to Chicago.
Well, Chicago.
Yep, I am.
We're worldwide, baby. So, anyways, Danielle, as always, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Our friend, Danielle DiMartino Booth, from the author of Fed Up, but also, she did work for the Federal Reserve, and which is why I like to have her on, because we always get a straight-up shot from what she's thinking, and she's not afraid to voice her opinion as well. So that's always, it's always cool to talk to her. And you can catch her on CNBC and on Fox and on BNN and all the major networks. She is the one that they turn to typically on a Fed day. So it's always good. But I think you have to listen to some of the points, and where her and I a little bit disagree, and that's, you know, that's what makes a market. But at least I don't mind when she disagrees with me, because at least I understand her reasoning versus my reasoning. So I do respect the fact that she has a solid understanding of where she's coming from. And she does believe that the Fed needs to be reconstructed, if not abandoned. But of course, she's a Fed believer under a new role and under a new startup, not as it's in its current formation. So, but in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, when you need to listen to me, and you've got, it should be every day, you got to go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, you know, go check out Bubba Trading. You get some of Danielle's writing there. Obviously, we do a lot of writing for it, and we've got, you know, a lot of great classes starting all the time. And it's always our goal to help you become more informed, a better trader, and a better investor. And that's why you go to thebubbatrading.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we continue to vacillate in this ridiculous market that has no action. And of course, I think there's something interesting to think about and to look at, and I think this is what you should be watching right now. If you go back a couple of days, you go to Wednesday, and you saw the Trump press conference. Okay, now nothing wrong with a Trump press conference, but the difference between Trump and every other president that I can remember, the difference between Trump and every other politician that I can remember, is he says what he wants to say right away. He does not filter, okay, and he does create some market action. And, you know, this is not a guy that is trying to front run the market or do anything else. This is a guy that's doing exactly what he feels and what he thinks. And of course, it does give you some stuff to watch on the overall setup. Okay. And if you watched Wednesday when he started to attack pharma, and you saw the market from being up 100 to down 150. Okay. And then ended up closing up, and you saw the follow through yesterday with a down market that ended up trying to rally back. And I think what you're seeing here, okay, now we don't call tops or bottoms. We'll give you an idea. But I think what you're seeing here is you're seeing a little bit of a change in the market. As I've said, many, many times. I believe the markets want to go lower. I believe the markets are looking for a reason to go lower. And it will not be your basic economic data. What it will be is it will be something of like the Trump speech. It'll be something that will become totally unexpected, in which the markets will just start to drop. Now, the other thing that I've been watching and telling you about is that I expect to see the market continue to find buyers as it sells off. But I think one of the things you are seeing right now is a market that is not only getting ready to go on the verge, but is now the pattern is starting to agree with the market going on the verge. And when I'm saying the pattern, we're starting to see a market making lower highs and lower lows. Now, we're still in a consolidation pattern, but you are seeing some trepidation. You're seeing that the buyers will still step in, but unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which side you're on, they have not been able to push the market far enough up when they come back in. Now, if that continues, that will very much signify that the top of the market is in. Now, again, we're not predicting it here. I'm not saying that the top isn't. I'm telling you these are things that you look for as a trader and as a person that wants to follow the footprint and follow the flow of the market, because that is the indication that we're potentially seeing here. Is because if you even look at yesterday, right, we had a big sell-off and every chance to take it way down. And once again, the buyer stepped in and brought the markets back dramatically from their lows. So these are what you can expect. And again, as long as they continue to make lower highs, the lower highs will be an indication that the market is getting ready to turn over and is getting ready to sell off. Now, you've got a lot of people predicting that it'll be at the inauguration, whatever. We don't predict. We're looking and we're watching and we're observing, knowing that the very high probability that a market sell-off is coming is being prepared for that. Okay, now we've seen that starting a little bit in some of the agricultural markets. We have seen the unbelievable move of cattle. And of course, we thought that cattle was starting to make a little bit of toppy action. And of course, as we saw, as we watched, we see it start to sell off a little bit now. And I think that is something that you look for. I think if you look at, if you're a cattle trader or if you've ever looked at it, I think if you look at the volume on Wednesday and the price action, on Tuesday, I think that showed you a blow off to the upside. Okay. And I think that would indicate that they probably have made their high and are now starting to head lower. I think that, you watch the grain markets, and if you watched soybeans float around $10 and then finally on the USDA report, they exploded higher. I mean, went to 10:30. Again, I think that's now you want to watch 10:20. I think you saw the exact action. We figured that it was already priced into the market. And this is one of the things that I find to be extremely important for everybody, but investors and traders, markets are going to repeat what they do. They do the same patterns over and over again. Okay. So don't try to run and catch them on news. Try to be the guy that's going to fade or go against the news, because markets already have the expectations and they typically will build in what they're thinking ahead of time. And I think that's very important for you to understand as a investor or as a trader, okay, is to keep yourself clean and mean and ready to react when action takes place. This becomes a very important thing that you do, because again, it really irritates me. It really pisses me off when you hear all of the pundits and either cheerleading or depressing. In the meantime, the markets have gone absolutely nowhere, yet they have made it a cheerleading contest on a daily basis. And I find that to be, A, disturbing. I find that to be a little bit upsetting. And at the end of the day, I think that we need to really, when you're trading, obviously we like to watch the news. But I think from a trading standpoint, you want to turn off the news. You want to tune it out so that you are prepared to react to that market condition, not to be influenced to make your decision. And I think that is one of the most important things that you can understand is it's about the reaction to a market not being influenced by that same market. And to me, that becomes a much bigger story for you, the individual. Because again, there's nobody out there going to cut your break. They're all looking to cut your heart out, to be honest with you. Okay. Remember, you're in a competition. The street's looking to slit your throat. Okay. Everybody wants a piece of you. Okay. From the broker to the other traders. So you need to take care of yourself in a manner that will allow you to be on your game and not get taken advantage of. Because I'm telling you, I say this all the time, okay? People are out there, like in any other business, they're looking to grab at you, all right? They want into your pockets. And that is what you have to be leery of, okay? Because any deal that sounds too good to be true, probably too good to be true, which is why when you talk to me, I tell you like it is, that you're going to have losing days, you're going to have winning days, but you can learn. Trading is a skill. Investing is a skill. And you certainly can learn to be better at it. Okay? But if you're going to be better at it, you have to work at it. It does not come automatically. It is not a skill that is read in a book. It's a skill of feeling, as I like to say, the agony, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. Okay? I have felt both, and I can tell you that the thrill of victory feels a hell of a lot better, right? But at the end of the day, okay, you need to remember this. When the ship's going down, it's every man for himself or every woman for herself, all right? So don't let things take advantage of you. Don't let things get out of your way. You make sure that you are in control, and that means you focus on what you need to focus on. And that comes down to the market footprint, because the market always leaves a footprint. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, LibertyTalk.fm is my station. And I want you to go there and download every day The Bubba Show as I try to get to 1 million downloads a month. I'm urging you. I need your help. And, of course, you also get the Sporting Edge there. Plus, wonderful programming around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've got programming, live programming, ready to rock and roll. So make sure you check it out, as well as BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, everybody have a great weekend. If you're a football fan, enjoy the games. I look for Seattle to be my best bet. So enjoy the games. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you, entrepreneur. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here on Monday, Martin Luther King Day. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.